Let us pray. Dear Lord God, we give thanks this morning to be here to hear your word. We ask your blessings of your Holy Spirit to be with us, to understand it, to believe it, to live it. Please lead us in repentance and in faith, that we may stand against all adversities, within and without. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. I don't know about you, but my own heart and in a number of people that I've talked to last few months, it's not unusual in our conversations for something like this to come up. What in the world is going on in this world? So many troubling things, bad things happening. Violence, terror, all of these things seemingly creeping closer and closer to us every day. What are we to do about this? What are we to think about this? What is going on, and what does God have to say about this, and what is God doing about this? If you've had questions like that, then I would recommend reading the prophet Habakkuk, because he had those same questions. And so today what I'd like to do is look at Habakkuk's problems that he faced in his day, and to see how they're very similar to the kind of problems we face ourselves. Then look to the promises that God gave to Habakkuk and to us. I'm sure most of you, like me, probably the first time we ever heard of this prophet Habakkuk was when somebody urged us to memorize the books of the Bible. And as we came to the latter part of those Old Testament books, we came to those prophets with all those funny names, one of which is Habakkuk. He lived in Judah about 500 years before Jesus, and Judah at that time was falling apart. Judah was vacillating between being a playboy culture on the one hand and a kingdom faithful to God on the other hand. But the real problem, as many of the prophets pointed out, that the playboy culture was taking over. And so Habakkuk complains that the law is paralyzed, that justice never goes forth. Habakkuk's one of the most unusual of all the prophets. For example, we think perhaps that Habakkuk was a musician. And the other thing unusual about Habakkuk is that he never once speaks to the people of Judah. He only speaks to God, and God speaks to him, and he has this dialogue happening with God. And it's his writing down of this dialogue that gives us insight into the angst that he was going through and the kind of heartaches that all Christians have gone through throughout the ages at different times. Not only was Habakkuk concerned about the immorality of Judah, but even more so that they were about to be overtaken by Babylon, an even more wicked country than Judah. He said in chapter 1 that their God is their might, that they follow idols in chapter 2, verse 18, that are teachers of lies. And so complaining to God about all of these things in chapter 1 and back and forth in the other chapters, God speaks to Habakkuk and God tells him that these things are not going to last forever. The wicked surround the righteous, yes. And even today in our world, we see some of the same things that Habakkuk saw. People worshiping at the altar of personal pleasure. We see how a spiritless world pulls us in that direction. A world in which God becomes less and less, and the world always becomes more and more. We see a world that is believing dark lies, two of whom are very different from each other, but different and both evil in their own extremes. One lie is that it is okay to murder in the name of religion, and in the name of God. And then on the other extreme is the lie that there really is no God. We are just higher forms of animals. And so why should we really be surprised when these animals express their rage in horrendous and murderous ways? These two evils are fighting against each other and in the process destroying everything in between. And we are caught in between all of these things. And we can understand Habakkuk when he says in chapter 1, verse 3, destruction and violence are before me, strife and contention arise. This is Habakkuk's problem. This is our problem as well today. But basically, God's message to Habakkuk goes something like this. It is going to get worse, Habakkuk. And your worst fears are going to be realized. Babylon is going to take over Judah. In fact, I'm raising up that wicked nation to do just that. Babylon was a cruel country. Their Bible, if you want to call it that, begins with stories about gods who fight against each other and dismember each other. And that becomes a kind of narrative for that culture itself, a culture of struggle, a culture of violence, a culture in which might makes right. But then God tells Habakkuk and us that the proud will have their way to a point. In chapter 2, verse 13, he says, "These nations weary themselves in vain." That is to say, their efforts to take over everything by their own might in the end is going to fail. In chapter 3, verse 12, God tells him that he will ultimately trample these nations in anger. And so it's important that we understand they will not overcome, and we ourselves must be careful not to be drawn into that cycle of violence, retribution, and revenge. Salvation rests on the soul that is made right before God. Chapter 2, verse 4. Behold, his soul is puffed up. It is not right within him, but the righteous shall live by his faith. Paul picks up that verse in his great letter to the Romans, in which he explains how the heart can become righteous before God through the gospel of Jesus Christ, which he says is the power of God unto salvation through faith all the way around. The just, Paul says, quoting Habakkuk, shall live by faith. Jesus came into this world to counter the might makes right philosophy and religion of this world. And he didn't counter it with more pride and with more violence, but with righteousness, his own righteousness, with holiness, with his own faith, with his own perfect love. And yes, God raised up this world against his own son, Jesus, just as he raised up Babylon. And Jesus died on the cross. But as he died, all of that pride, all of that hatred, all of that violence and its power died with him. And 3 days later, Jesus rose from the dead. And people began to see what Habakkuk had been told by the Lord 500 years earlier. In Christ, in God's Son's blood, the sins of this world would be forgiven, and hearts would be made righteous before him. And through that faith in Christ, they would be saved. Although tempted to be drawn back into that whirlpool, repentance cuts it off, and forgiveness always heals us. I think sometimes that we, like Habakkuk, forget this reality. We think that evil will win, and God has to step in sometimes and remind us that it doesn't. He has always been in control. He is in control, and he will be in control to the very end. And his plan of salvation is a salvation based on faith in his gifts and promises, in his righteousness through his Son, Jesus Christ. What a profound and incredible reality this is, that we have been privileged to hear about and to believe and to become a part of in our own baptisms and in our own faith. I was conducting chapel at Metro East Lutheran High School Wednesday, and I had an interesting discussion with art teacher Mr. Schneer after the service. He was telling me about a Chinese student and a conversation he was having with this student. The conversation went kind of like this. Student, Jesus is human? Mr. Schneer, yes, but he is also God. Student, Mary, Jesus' mother? She also human? Mr. Schneer, yes. Student, Joseph, Jesus' father? Mr. Schneer, no, he is his stepfather. Student, Jesus' father God? Mr. Schneer, yes. That is the profound reality that stands against those great evils that Habakkuk worried about and that we worry about from time to time ourselves. They are real. They are vicious. They are horrible. But God's grace is greater and stronger and better. He has stepped into this world, and he has done so through his Son, Jesus Christ. And so Habakkuk, while he begins his prophecy with this lament and this complaint about the evils of this world, he ends with an acclamation of joy. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will take joy in the God of my salvation. God the Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the deer's. He makes me tread on my high places. In Jesus' name, amen. Please rise. I'd like to close with a prayer that we just sang in our opening hymn from the Chinese Christian Zhao Xian, second verse. Father, hear my prayer. Keep me safe today. Sanctify my thoughts, all I do and say. As I teach the young and esteem the old, may your bounteous grace by my life be told. Amen.